War is hell. That is the famous quote by William Tecumseh Sherman, who was a general that finally won the Civil War in the United States. And he won it by marching his army across the southern states and leaving a trail of destruction as had never been seen before. It was called Total War, Scorched Earth. In fact, the Americans have named one of their tanks after this fellow. So I want to take you on a little drive tonight as I read the full quote that William Tecumseh Sherman said. And it's through the Yarmouk Palestinian refugee camp. Let's see if this actually works. And I'll read you his quote in its entirety. "I am sick and tired of war. Its glory is all moonshine. It's only those who have neither fired a shot nor heard the shrieks and the groans of the wounded, who cry aloud for blood, for vengeance, for desolation. War is hell. There used to be 100,000 Palestinians who lived in this refugee camp. And as you drive through, you can imagine that in each of these apartment buildings, there used to be families. There used to be a doctor, a dentist, there would be a bakery. There would be schools, there would be playgrounds. And after the devastation of war, this is all that we see. And this is the kind of imagery that has been coming out of the Middle East lately. We have pictures of hospitals being struck by missiles. We've seen children pulled out of the rubble of blown up buildings. And if you come back the week after, then you'll just see more pictures of children being pulled out of more buildings. And so it's no surprise that across the world, tens, hundreds of thousands of people have gathered in enormous protests. And I'll try my video again. Oh, I forgot to mute. You don't need to listen to the sound of the helicopter. This is London, for those of you who hadn't caught that yet. 100,000 people, and this is just one of the marches of 100,000 people marching through the streets of London, demanding an end to the devastation and the carnage that is unfolding in the Middle East right now. Let's see if I can get to the next one. Nope. This is Washington, D.C., time-lapse photography of a march of 300,000 people who marched on Washington, D.C., to demand an end to the devastation and the carnage that is going on in the Middle East. I've never seen in my life, and I'm not that young anymore, but I'm not that old either, I've never seen outrage across the globe on this scale before. Let's see. But this picture and the video that you watched was not from Gaza. It was from Syria. It was from the Yarmouk Palestinian refugee camp in Syria, where 100,000 Palestinians were either murdered or displaced during the Syrian war. And in this refugee camp, there are only 100 to 200 remaining Palestinians. And this hospital is also not in Gaza. This is an Israeli hospital. This is the Barzilai Medical Center that was hit three times by Palestinian missiles. But you actually won't have seen this hospital on the news. You will have seen other hospitals, unless you follow some very niche news. And this child being pulled out of the rubble is being pulled out of the rubble in Yemen. In Yemen, where a civil war since 2014 has killed over 375,000 Muslims. A third of a million Muslims have died in Yemen. And this child is also in Syria. This is in Aleppo. During the siege of Aleppo, 30,000 Muslims were killed in the siege of one city in Syria. This is another one of the scenes of destruction from the city of Aleppo. And within the last 6 months, 1.4 million Afghans have been expelled from Pakistan with violence. And over the last decade, the Chinese government has mounted a scheme of persecution and concentration camps against the Uyghur Muslim population in eastern China. They are sent to re-education camps. Their women are sterilized. Their children are taken away from them. It's absolute terrible events happening in China. So we have to ask ourselves, where was everybody when those events were happening? When the hundreds of thousands were dying in Yemen, when the people were being persecuted in China, when the children were dying in Syria, why were there not enormous marches going on in London? There was, in fact, a march. This is a march on behalf of the Uyghur people. And you see about seven people here. And at the height of this march, there were estimated to be 25 people present in order to stand up for the rights of the Uyghur Muslims in China. Why do so many people protest for Gaza and so few for some of these other enormous tragedies? It's quite bizarre. Now they might tell you, well, the Palestinians have been displaced from their homes. But if we look at the sort of occupation of Gaza, this is the population of settlers in different parts of Israel and the Palestinian territories. And you'll notice down here that the population of settlers in Gaza has dropped to zero for about the last 20 years. And they'll tell you, well, Gaza is an open-air prison. The Palestinians have nowhere to go. Until you look at a map. And when you look at a map, you discover that, oddly, Gaza has a border with Egypt. And oddly, for all these years, nobody has been protesting against Egypt for maintaining a siege of Gaza. This is what the border with Egypt looks like. It's not exactly your sort of friendly, warm, fuzzy feeling. Why aren't they protesting this border? This inhumane restriction on commerce and the movement of humans and refugees. Well, they'll tell you about the apartheid that there is in Israel. And so you notice highlighted, they being Palestinians, are legally barred from owning property or entering a list of desirable occupations. Okay, Palestinians can't be lawyers, they can't be doctors. But if you read up two lines, you'll notice that this isn't talking about Israel at all. This is talking about Lebanon. In Lebanon, if you're a Palestinian who doesn't have citizenship, and most of the hundreds of thousands of Palestinians in Lebanon don't have citizenship, you are not allowed to buy property. You are not allowed to be a lawyer. You're not allowed to be a doctor. There is apartheid against the Palestinians, and it's in Lebanon. How many marches do you think there have been against the apartheid in Lebanon? Supreme Court justice in Israel just died. It's an Israeli Arab, Palestinian by descent, the Supreme Court justice who sent a Jewish president to jail for corruption. That's what happens in Israel. You can rise to the highest ranks of Israeli society as an Arab, But in Lebanon, you can't buy a house. Now, another really interesting thing, this is a picture from a protest in Chicago on October 8th, right? Palestine will be free from the river to the sea. On October 8th, what had Israel done on October 8th? Does anybody recall those events? It's the day after the attack. What had Israel's reaction been? Nothing. They were still reeling from the shock. They were still trying to find the terrorists who had infiltrated. They didn't even know how many people had died for like a week. Israel had done nothing. And already thousands of people are marching through Chicago saying, Palestine will be free from the river to the sea. What are they talking about? They're talking about murdering the Jewish people. So there's a big difference between what's happened in Gaza versus what's happened in Yemen and in Syria and in Sudan and in Nigeria, where all kinds of terrible things are happening on a much grander scale than what's going on in Gaza. And the way they sum it up is no Jews, no news. If there aren't Jews involved in the event, you don't hear about it. It doesn't show up on your phone in a notification. It doesn't show up on the BBC and the CBC, right? You don't know what's going on with the Christians in Nigeria. There's no Jews involved in Nigeria. But when something happens in Gaza, ding, 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 there it is. Headlines. Let me give you an example. This is the Al-Ahli Baptist Hospital, and there was a big explosion in the parking lot of the hospital, and a bunch of people died. It was a tragedy. This was on October 17th. And the headlines raced around the world. New York Times, Israeli strike, let me just adjust my size here. Israeli strike kills hundreds in hospital, the Palestinians say. The BBC says hundreds of people have been killed in an Israeli strike on a hospital in Gaza. This is CNN, hundreds killed in Israeli strike on Gaza hospital. This is the Wall Street Journal, Israeli airstrike on Gaza hospital kills more than 500. What a disaster. How devastating. How heartbreaking. Poor people trying to flee the conflict, they go towards a hospital hoping to find a safe place, and the Israeli airstrike comes and kills more than 500. Except that the top picture is what an Israeli airstrike looks like. The Israelis have some pretty potent weaponry. So when they drop a bomb somewhere, it really finishes the place off. And the bottom is the parking lot of the hospital. And do you see the crater in the bottom? No, that's because it's about this big. Okay? There was a crater. It was about this big. And it turns out that what landed in the parking lot of this hospital was a misfired Palestinian rocket. They were trying to kill some innocent Jews, and they accidentally killed some innocent Palestinians. So you can ask yourself, wait a minute. I saw the Wall Street Journal said more than 500, right? And that parking lot, I mean, it doesn't look great, but to get the scale of devastation that you need for more than 500, how did they get this number, more than 500? Well, there's been a complete investigation, and they found out that this number came from a journalist WhatsApp group where some journalist said, I think it's more than 500. And all the other journalists copied the information and they said in CNN and Washington Post and all over the world, more than those Israelis, they killed more than 500. Completely unsubstantiated. You know, and the tragedy is, innocent Palestinians died, but as soon as they found out that it wasn't the Jews, nobody cared. Nobody was interested in the poor Palestinians who died in that parking lot that day. The BBC did publish a very apologetic retraction. I'm just kidding. They did nothing of the sort. What they said after the fact is, Daniel Hagari, a spokesman for the Israeli Defense Forces, IDF, says communication from Gaza discussed misfired rocket. The BBC has not been able to verify Hagari's claim. So first of all, the sentence is grammatically awkward. Second of all, what are they saying, really? Is this an apology? Is this a retraction? I don't know what it is. But look at the tweet they sent out first, right? This at the bottom. Hundreds killed in an Israeli airstrike. What they should have said is, we got it wrong. There was no Israeli airstrike. It's the Palestinians' fault, and we should be very upset at the Palestinians for killing their own people. That's what they should have said. But what does the BBC say? Well, the Israelis said something, and you know what? I don't know if you can trust those Israelis. BBC hasn't been able to verify it. Maybe they did bomb the place, right? Notice that little, we haven't been able to verify, somehow was omitted from the Palestinian claim. It's not just the BBC. The CBC, this is a leaked email that was sent to the CBC reporters where they are told, please do not describe 2005 as the end of the occupation. Okay, this is not an accidental thing. This is literally the management of the media companies telling their reporters that they can't tell you what's true. That they have to frame things in a way that is negative to Israel, or else their jobs are going to be on the line. So what does Scripture say? Do not be deceived. This is a serious threat to us as disciples, and the Bible warns us about this. Do not be deceived. You're going to get a whole bunch of information sent at you from all kinds of sources, and you have to recognize that a lot of it is going to be misleading, incorrect, or trying to sell you something without telling you. Now, I don't want you to take anything I'm saying tonight as an endorsement of Israeli military policy, right? I'm not telling you that what the Israelis are doing is good. I'm not actually making a value judgment on their actions. But what I'm explaining to you is that the world is reacting in a completely different way when there are Jews involved versus when there are not Jews involved. Proverbs 18:17, the first to plead his case seems right until another comes and examines him. This is a really big problem. The first to state his case seems right. When you get to that headline and you read that headline, you think it's the truth. That's the way your brain works when you look at these headlines. You think it's true. And if you don't do the second part of this verse, you are going to be deceived. You have to go and examine the information that you're given. And I am sorry, it's going to be work. There's just no other way about it. You either need to not pay attention to this information at all, or if you get it, you have to put in the work, because otherwise you are just being a pawn in their game. TikTok is where 50% of our young people get their news these days. And if you do a hashtag analysis of Free Palestine versus Stand with Israel, the Free Palestine group has 22 billion impressions on TikTok versus the Stand with Israel 350 million. 22 billion eyeball impressions on young people with a pro-Palestinian message. Do you think TikTok is shaping the views of the next generation with regards to Israel? Absolutely. Do you think our young people are getting brainwashed by what they see on social media? Absolutely. Do you think the algorithms used by social media to prioritize the news that you see, do you think they are fair and impartial? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Their power comes from the algorithms. And if you expose yourself to this information, you will be deceived. The venerable New York Times: Israeli strike kills hundreds in hospital, Palestinians say. And you look at that picture. Isn't that picture devastating? Now you look at that headline, you look at that webpage. What do you think that picture is of? What would you assume as a fair-minded, rational human, looking at the headline of the newspaper with that picture, what do you think that picture is of? A Palestinian hospital. That would make sense, wouldn't it? It absolutely is not. And it says so in the fine print in white down there, the city of Khan Yunis. And of course, Khan Yunis is not where the Al-Akhli Hospital is, because of course you know Palestinian Gaza geography, so you would know that. Of course you don't know that. So they literally take a picture of a building from another city and they stick it underneath like, oh, why did they take that picture? Because the only picture they had showed a parking lot with some burnt out cars. And that's not very dramatic, right? You really want to highlight how bad these Israelis are. So, you know, now, are they lying? Is this a lie? Is this website that you're looking at, is it a lie? What information is wrong on here? Well, the picture has been labeled that it's from the southern city of Khan Yunis. So the label on the picture is correct. So where's the lie? But they didn't say. What they said is that the Palestinians say that the Israeli airstrike kills hundreds. So if you took them to court over that headline, they would say what we reported was absolutely true because the Palestinians did say that. They are reporting the truth. So you see how legalistically this whole thing is true and yet is entirely deceptive. It's entirely constructed to mislead you, while every individual fact is in fact correct. Do not be deceived. The first status case seems right until the other comes and examines. How many people did the hard work of looking at the map and trying to figure out where Khan Yunis is? How many people, you know, double checked that what the Palestinians said was true? And how did the Palestinians know that in the first place? Tiny fraction of society. Majority of society reads the headline and their heart breaks and they think about how those terrible Israelis are doing these terrible things. The New York Times, this isn't some fringe little publication out of somebody's basement. This is considered one of the luminary journalistic organizations on the planet. And they are absolutely trying to brainwash you. And it's working. Reuters. There was a protest in L.A. and a pro-Palestinian protester smashed a Jewish man in the face with a megaphone, and the Jewish man fell over and hit his head and died. And this is the headline. Man involved in confrontation. Man, we don't know what kind of man he is, right? We don't know whose side he was on. It's just a man, maybe he was just getting ice cream, we don't know. A man involved in confrontation with Jewish protester who died. Does anybody who knows English grammar understand what it means when you say protester who died? What do we call that? Okay, I'm getting technical here, but this is called the passive voice. And you use the passive voice when you're trying to kind of duck responsibility. Somebody stole the cookie from the cookie jar. right? Who, me? I don't know. The cookie was stolen from the cookie jar. Who knows what happened, right? When it was Israeli, it was like, Israeli strike kills. That's the active voice. Jewish protester who died is the passive voice. And once you see it, you will see it all the time. Everything bad about Israel is active voice. Everything about the Palestinians or people against Israel will be the passive voice. Here's another form of lying. We call it lying with maps. Now, maybe you've seen a version of this map a bunch of times. I'm going to take a few minutes here to deconstruct the layers of lies involved in this map. But one of the biggest ones is the apples and oranges lie. Okay? Because there's four frames here. And the first frame says Palestine. And the last frame says Israel. Now, play the game with me here. In that last frame, where it says Israel, what is Israel? It sounds like a stupid question. Try the simple answer. What do we mean by Israel?
The land in
what? Okay, I mean, that's what it's marking on the map. But what is Israel?
A
country. It's a country, right? Now, in the first frame, what is Palestine?
An area.
It's not a country, that's for sure. And in that day, in 1946, that isn't even the area that Palestine was, right? We have the Palestine Mandate, the British Mandate for Palestine, which was a much bigger area than that first one. So they put the word Palestine there because they want you subliminally to think of Palestine as if it was a country back in 1946. It was not a country in 1946. Furthermore, in that first frame, you have these little white patches. And what do they want you to believe those white patches are? Is Israeli, you know, Jewish area. So if the white area is where Jewish people live, what would you assume is the green area? Well, where the Palestinians live, right? Of course, if you've never seen a picture of Palestine, right, you'll know that a huge chunk of that is desert. A huge chunk of that, nobody lives there. So apples and oranges, right? In white, we give you the place where people live. In green, we are showing you a territorial area. That is a lie. That is a lie in a map. Now, in the second frame, they say the UN plan for 1947, and they show you some borders, which sounds very nice, except that never happened. The UN tried to implement that plan, but the five Arab armies immediately invaded Israel. So the second one here, they try to present it as a fact of history. It never happened. It's completely imaginary. And between the second one and the third one, Israel conquered all of Sinai. That frame's not up there. And they gave it all back to Egypt in exchange for peace with Egypt. That frame's not on there. And it's only the fourth frame is the only one that's actually correct. But they're trying to paint you a deceptive story. They're trying to go, oh, look, Palestinians had so much, and now they have so little, and it's the Jews' fault. That's the story they want you to come away with when they show you this map. And they do it by lying subtly in about, you know, four or five different details. If you actually look at the map of land ownership in 1945, the blue is land owned by Jews, and the green is land owned by Arabs. This is what it looked like. Okay, there's huge chunks of white because nobody lives there. Nobody owns that land. It was part of the British Mandate for Palestine. This is what it really started as. Now, if you actually wanted to consider a series of maps showing the Palestinian control, you would see that in 1946, Palestinians controlled nothing. In 1947, Palestinians controlled nothing. In 1967, the Jordanians and the Egyptians controlled some of that land. Now, do you guys remember back in the 70s when there were enormous protests demanding that Jordan give the Palestinians a homeland and establish a Palestinian state? Any of you guys around in the 70s remember that big protest movement? Do you remember the big protest movements demanding that Egypt stop the occupation of Gaza and set up a Palestinian state in Gaza? And the reason you don't remember that is because nobody cared about the Palestinians back then. As long as it was the Egyptians in control, nobody talked about a Palestinian state. For decades, the Palestinians could have had a state under Egypt. And so they finally did get some autonomy and control in 1995. Guess who is the only nation to ever give Palestinians some self-government? Israel. The demonized Israel is the only entity on the planet that has ever given the Palestinians anything even remotely like a state. And if we're going to play with maps, you can also look at the Arab domination of the planet between the year 540 and the year 2020, right? Muslims have done their fair share of taking over territory on the map. And this is a fact that most people try to avoid. You know, where is the occupation really? If we're going to say that Israel is under, you know, the West Bank is under Jewish occupation, then we can reasonably say that most of North Africa is under Muslim occupation. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits. Do not believe every spirit, test the spirits. If you don't cross-check and investigate the information you're given, the headlines, the pictures, the maps, the historical dates, if you don't cross-check that, you are being brainwashed. I can assure you of it. And it's work. And I'm sorry, but we have no alternative. It's the Watchtower magazine. If somebody gives you a Watchtower magazine, is every sentence of a Watchtower magazine a lie? No, right? There's some valid sentences in a Watchtower magazine, but if somebody gives you a Watchtower magazine and you start to read it, you think twice about each sentence. Why do you think carefully about the sentences that you read?
Something seems off.
Well, you're looking, why would you even look for something that seems off?
You know where it's coming from.
And where's it coming from? What is their goal?
Convert you.
They want to convert you, right? So it's okay to take the Watchtower magazine and read it. But you have to understand, you would be very naive to not consider the fact that the publishers of the Watchtower magazine, they want to convert you to their religion. And because of that, you need to cross-check everything in that Watchtower magazine. And I can assure you that the publishers of the CBC and the BBC and the New York Times, they want to convert you to their religion as well. You should handle that information just like the Watchtower magazine. Doesn't mean everything they say is false, but it does mean you need to double check everything they say. There's something called the Gell-Mann amnesia effect, and that is where you go to a newspaper and you read something about a topic that you're familiar with. In our case, Israel, right? We're familiar with Israel. So we see these articles and we go, man, the newspapers are full of garbage about Israel. And then we turn the page and there's an article about the environment. And we read all about the environment and then we say, oh, did you hear what it says about the environment? It's terrible what's happening with the environment. Now, did you see where the amnesia happened there? Right? On the previous page, I knew that this publication was a brainwashed publication trying to convert you to their religion. And then I turned the page and I instantly forgot that. And I believed everything I read on the next page. It's absolute nonsense, right? Our brains are terrible. If they're wrong about Israel, what else are they wrong about? Well, they're wrong about everything that has a philosophical component. I'm sorry. It's a lot of work to digest this and pull this all apart. There's a danger, right? Where you throw out everything and everything's, nothing's true. And then if nothing's true, then you can get into what's in the water and how they make toothpaste. And like, it is a little bit unsettling, right? Like you don't want to go completely down the tinfoil hat conspiracy world, right? Because sometimes you're just believing other random people. It is really hard to know what to believe. So we don't have to believe anything about a lot of topics, right? We're very opinionated people. We like to have opinions on things, but we don't actually have to have opinions on a lot of things because we're generally often not qualified to even know if an opinion is a good opinion. And we haven't even gotten to what AI is going to do to the media. You know, one of the things that AI is really good at? Persuading people. And as good as they've been in their persuasion, these AI tools are going to come along and they're going to amp that up even further. So, what do we do with this wave of deception? Well, it's a prophetic sign. On the one hand, it's distressing, but on the other hand, this is exactly what we would expect right before the time of the end. A complete mischaracterization and double standard when it comes to Israel is exactly what we would expect if the Bible is true. So as disheartening and frustrating as it is, it confirms our faith. For this reason, God will send upon them a deluding influence so that they will believe what is false, in order that they all may be judged who did not believe the truth, but took pleasure in wickedness. We read tonight about Jerusalem being a cup that causes reeling. What did Hamas call their big attack on October 7th? They called it the Al-Aqsa Flood. Al-Aqsa is the name of the mosque in Jerusalem. They literally said, Jerusalem is the reason we're going to go out like madmen and massacre hundreds of people. Jerusalem will be a cup that causes reeling. Now, this doesn't mean we shouldn't be upset when we see human suffering. Human suffering is upsetting, and human suffering is happening in Gaza right now. Human suffering is happening in Israel right now, and we should open our hearts to it. It says in Job 30, have I not wept for the one whose life is hard? And of course, Jesus wept. So it's okay to be distressed and upset. But keep in mind that when you see a headline about something that involves Israel that tugs at your heartstrings, why are they telling you this and not telling you about Sudan and not telling you about Nigeria? Are they just trying to use your own compassion against you to try to brainwash you? Now, when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads because your redemption draws near.